Stay the course.
Cut and run.
Welcome to the English Mojo Podcast Series, Episode 15, Election Stabs. Want to see a brawl between hundreds of expensively dressed men and women? You only need look at the politicians currently trading verbal punches in elections for 468 seats in the United States Congress. Political slugfests also happen in Britain, Australia, Canada, and elsewhere. But the stunning thing about this particular free-for-all is how the disappearance of one small phrase has suddenly sent incumbents scrambling to rewrite their battle plans. Only a few weeks before elections began unrolling, the president did the unthinkable to his fellow party politicians. He jettisoned the two-year-old catchphrase that had united them in promoting an increasingly unpopular overseas war. Instantly and completely, the soundbite, "Stay the course," disappeared from his speeches and statements. What's happening to today's political slogans? How have they been used for attack? And what are they evolving into? I'm Joseph Cashmere. Thanks for taking this podcast from English Mojo. The president's companion attack mantra, cut and run, seems to have disappeared as well. Stay the course conjured the image of an unswerving ship's captain. Cut and run suggested the battlefield coward. Stay the course first appeared in print in the mid-1880s and applied to a racehorse's ability to cross the finish line as a winner. By the end of World War I, politicians had reined it to their own purposes. Cut and run was actually the nautical term and long an established military tactic used by sailing ships under sudden attack. It goes back over 200 years. To free a vessel for a quick escape, the anchor cable would be slashed, allowing it to fall into the sea as sails were raised. There is nothing like a war to generate political slogans. Recent hostilities inspired the presidents, "We'll stand down when they stand up," and "Mission accomplished," which appeared as signage behind the president on the deck of an aircraft carrier. And "Protecting America" was posted at the signing table of the much-distrusted Military Commissions Act of 2006. But for raw power and simplicity, no one beats the ancient Roman Cato. The senator became famous for closing all his speeches with the imperative, "Carthage must be destroyed." Rome eventually attacked. Election watchwords range from sweet to sarcastic, from personal praise to attacks and counterattacks. Sometimes they even take sides on an issue. Often developed by a campaign team of 3 to 4 people, they can be stabs in the dark, seeking to hit an emotion, evoke an impression, or trigger a voter's mood, such as optimism, anxiety, anger, or apprehension. Many times, because they have the impossible task of being distinct and memorable while remaining vague to hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of people, they fail. The beauty of a political slogan lies in its ability to imply much and say little. Consider this from the Scottish National Party. "The power for change," and "It's Scotland's oil." Or this from different parties in Canada. "Moving forward," and "Someday is now." From Australia, "When it matters," and "We're for the country." In the UK, the war of watchwords brought forth from the Labour Party, "New Labour, New Life for Britain," which was countered by the Conservatives with "New Labour, New Danger." The mysterious appeared in "Britain Forward, Not Back," and "Are You Thinking What We're Thinking?" And there was the especially irrelevant "Proud of Britain." But no place produces more sloganeering variety than America. How important is it there? This episode comes to you from English Mojo. For more episodes and articles, visit EnglishMojo.com. If cost is any indication, one group estimates that spending this season for those 468 positions in Congress will reach $2.6 billion. That works out to nearly $6 million per seat and is said to average about $60 per vote in the Senate and $35 per vote in the House. That's a long way from the quaint 1840s Tippecanoe and Tyler II, and the beginnings of presidential campaigning. Americans have since gone through a square deal from Teddy Roosevelt and New Deal from his cousin Franklin. They've seen new nationalism, also from Teddy, new freedom from Woodrow Wilson, the new frontier, first from Alf Landon, then from John Kennedy, the new beginning from Ronald Reagan, and the new covenant from Bill Clinton. They struggled through great economic depression with a chicken in every pot and We Are Turning the Corner with Herbert Hoover. They endured unabashed cheerleading from I'm Just Wild About Harry for Truman, I Like Ike, and I Still Like Ike for Dwight Eisenhower, and All the Way with LBJ for Johnson. And then there's the prophetic Nixon's the One. Common marketing wisdom tells us resonance is all. The U.S. electorate had trouble harmonizing with Bill Clinton's putting people first and his lyrical, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. What finally struck a chord with voters was that sardonic reminder said to have circulated first among campaign workers. It's the economy, stupid. The Bush presidents have been lit by the soft glow of a kinder, gentler America for George H.W. and No Child Left Behind for son George W. Of course, not all presidential sloganeering is polite. Maybe the mood changed back in the 1960s when Barry Goldwater faced off against LBJ with In your heart, you know he's right. Johnson supporters came back with the unofficial In your guts, you know he's nuts. But way back in 1884, things went nasty, too, for Grover Cleveland, when his opponents used the slogan, Ma, Ma, where's my pa? A reference to Cleveland's fathering an illegitimate child 10 years before. And so, the attack slogan was born. Negative campaign ads, like the one questioning Nixon's first presidential bid, Agnew for vice president, told the electorate what to think by pretending to ask. Reagan came at Carter with, Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? 4 years later, Reagan's challenger swung at the former movie star with, Alan Cranston, not just another pretty face. A bit of humor is often welcome, even for the most distasteful issues. Witness the latest riposte in the wake of the Foleygate sex scandal. Save a page, vote Democrat. In 1886, in Vermont, the hopeful governor and lieutenant governor team of Ornsby and Fuller consisted of two one-armed amputees who used the slogan, Two good arms between the two of us. It's known from polls that these days, Americans are concerned most about health care, national defense, taxes, energy, and immigration. But in the end, any political catchphrase must address a single question with a single statement. What do voters want in a candidate today? Honesty? Reliability? Protection? Belonging? Love? Prosperity? Maybe that's an answer that can't come from entrenched Beltway spin doctors or veteran politicos. Maybe it can only be found among outsiders to the system. Witness one Minnesota mother of teenage children who is taking a first-time stab at the U.S. Congress. Candidate Wendy Wild's campaign website includes the subheadings Play Fair, about tax equity, Do Your Homework, about government responsibility, Clean Up After Yourself, about the environment, and always do your best, about a new war policy. Has Cato been outdone? Is the ultimate slogan hers? It's there at the top of her webpage, in a massive bolded heading in reverse type, which reads, simply, Elect Mom. And how can anyone argue with that? I'm Joseph Cashmere. Thanks for joining the podcast. More later. Goodbye for now. This has been a presentation of English Mojo. Please visit us at EnglishMojo.com for more about Power in Language, to give us your comments and questions, and to learn about our other productions and services.